Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I'm your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, the one and only Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, dude, man. What's up? What's happening?
It's good, man. It's been a while. I kind of took like a break, kind of like a summer break. I see that you are enjoying yours as well. How's the Bay Area? Can I park my car in the city yet, or what's going on?
I mean, you could always do that. Just don't leave nothing in it. You know what I mean?
Like nothing in it.
Or yeah. Put a sign up. Be like, yo, don't. There's nothing in my car. Please leave my car alone. No, man, everything's good.
That doesn't work.
It actually does.
Treat it like a convertible.
No, man, it's been good. The weather's been actually pretty nice the last couple of weeks, you know, and just living life, man. Just here.
Good. All right. I always like to take a temperature. Because you know, I kind of hold it down here in SoCal, you hold it down there in NorCal, and I feel California kind of, well, any coastal states kind of sets the trend for that industry. Are people kind of rolling back into the office now? Is it more common, or is it still fully remote? What's the deal here?
I don't know, man. I don't, from what I'm seeing, everybody I know is still like working remotely. Some people, you know, like some people at VC are like, oh yeah, what office, like 2 days a week or 3 days a week, right? But they want to. And ones that don't want to are staying at home, you know. And I know at my job, I walked into the office sometime. I think it was this week, and it was like a ghost town. It was like there was like nobody there.
So, I will say this. Yeah. I'm seeing I take remote calls, you know. And I am seeing more and more people creeping in with the background of their office now, more than before. Like
Yeah, no, some people actually want to be in the office. Yeah. Like, not everybody's like you. You know what I mean? So
well, what's wrong with my setup here? Pretty dope, man.
So like everybody, like some people want to be in the office. And so like the ones that do are like, they're regularly back in the office, but the majority, like, I mean, the vast majority are just at home. But even people that are like, oh, I live 10 minutes from the office, or I live close to the office, they're like, nah, I'm not, like, why am I going in? So
I do agree,
mass exodus back to the office.
Yeah. I do see that as the number one excuse for people who has at least the ability to choose. That they too much family. And they're kind of looking for that escape, kind of what I theorized back then. And, you know, for people who need that division of work in life, the office is a nice escape to that.
I do want to kind of get back into it.
A lot of news in the last month. And this is a roundtable news episode, if you guys haven't read the title. So let's get into it. All right. This is a Roundtables News episode. For those who don't know, let me remind you, these are opinions of our own and not reflective of our company. Please don't try to get us fired. Okay. So a lot of things have happened, Ray, over the past month. I think our last Roundtable News kind of was like a precipice of this conversation, where overall there was like the beginnings of a hiring freeze. I think Facebook was one of the big tech companies where it's like, hey, let's hold on to this. We always make fun of Meta and VR. And since then, we can actually add on to that. But overall, tech companies are following suit. You know, some even went as far as doing layoffs. I know like Tesla recently did like a huge layoff and actually upping more of hourly people, but keeping the salary the same. They kind of stopped, but I think they laid off like a good percentage of their salary workforce, right? So we're seeing this kind of rumbling across. There is kind of like a pullback in the stock market as well, right? We're not a stock market podcast, but I'm kind of painting a picture here where all the industries in the country is kind of holding their breath to wait to see and waiting for the storm to kind of blow over, right? That's the attitude now. And another thing, you know, risky assets like crypto, right? It's crashing pretty damn hard. It's like, I think finally under the 20K, and it hasn't been there since 2017. Right. So that's that's like 70% drop. Its highest was in 70,000, right, per Bitcoin back in November.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's a huge drop. So that is worthy of note because, you know, Bitcoin is kind of the leading factor for that side of things, which can also affect NFTs, right? And all the other buzzwords we've been kind of talking about as of late. So that is the main topic of this episode. I kind of want to throw it back to you, Ray. What are your thoughts, man? I know you pay attention to this stuff, and I know I'm kind of naming a lot of tech companies, but you know, game industry is a close cousin, and it does kind of, you know, shit rolls downhill. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about all this?
I don't know. Like I think right now, yeah, we're seeing just a lot of companies are just trying to be cautious, right, and save money however they can and reduce expenditures. So that means it's time for layoffs and not hiring and things like that, right? And especially in areas where, like you're saying, like if there's a sector that's being hit right now, considered like a growth sector, one that is not maybe banking on future money and not necessarily on current money. There's been a lot of pullback there. And so all of those companies are like, yep, okay, we're not. Defer hiring, lay people off, right? Just reduce the expenditures and fix up the balance sheet. So that's happening pretty hardcore right now. And I think that's the explanation for it, right? It's just a matter of like, okay, we need to start showing better numbers in order to give the market hope that we are going to make money eventually. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of hopes, like you said. I think everybody is kind of waiting to see overall what the big fellas are doing. One of it, I think, is one of the main thing here with remote working. I was kind of starting off seeing what's the temperature like, but I do see, like, you know, overall the fundamental feelings of corporate or company is that they want people back, right? The majority, I feel, but like employees kind of have the winning hand right now. And Tesla, if anything, kind of had an ultimatum saying, you know, turning your 2 weeks or go back to the office. You know, that is like take it or leave it. And it was the strongest, I think, of any company head to kind of lay down the law. And basically he told everyone, hey, we can't build cars remotely, right? So for that particular company, that makes sense. That might be a factor, right?
Because the factory workers were never at home anyway, right? Because they're making cars in the factory, right? But yeah. there's software folks that don't need to be in the factory, right? But the verdict was just like, no, working in person is better. So therefore, you got to be in the office. That was kind of more the thing, right? And a lot of people were just like, oh, well, that's out of touch. That sucks, you know? And yeah, it was just, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 40 plus hour weeks or they will let go.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say my more stronger words. Like, I'm just, yep, yeah. I think that's just an outlier. I think that's just Elon being Elon Musk, right? You know what I mean? And there's other companies that want the workers to come back to work, but are not saying that and are being way more flexible and understanding, right? So.
Well, I think it's a cascading effect, right? I think the big dogs, whoever is brave enough to kind of step to the employees and say, hey, you need to go back to the office. Here's the paradigm shift that's happening right now, right? Employees kind of have all the hands. But as soon as, you know, one big company falls another big company into pushing people.
Apple was doing the same thing and their workers were like all protesting and kicking up a dust and Tesla's doing it. It's like these big, like, no, not everyone is Apple or Tesla, right? So not everyone can just be like, oh, Tesla did it. Okay, I could do it too. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? So look, I don't think there's going to be any sort of following of people going, yeah, Elon's right. get back into the office. I just don't see that happening at all. Cause most people, if it was just some other company, they would just be like, no, I'm not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or other people, maybe they're working at Tesla. They're like, this is the best job I ever had. I'm changing the world. I love this job. Okay. I'll come back to the office. Right. Like Elon has a little bit more leverage for sure. Right.
Well, I do feel like overall that if games are still making money, right? We were a few round tables to go. You know, the biggest game, Warzone, took a major hit, right? Some expected because of their huge influx. I think a lot of companies like Activision and others that was overhiring to kind of make up for lost time for delays during the pandemic, because there was this whole paradigm shift in how people work. They were overhiring people and now they're finding that, hey, this is not stable because we're only X amount of revenue and now we don't have enough things for these people to do now that we got over the hump, right? So I think a lot of companies are finding themselves with too many people. And this is where it kind of leads to our next story, where companies like, well, Hangar 13, right, our old friend, for many reasons, but I think one of it was because of this, in, you know, overhiring fiasco, too many people on staff type of thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's that. Flat out, it's not that. They did not overhire, right?
Yeah, so Hangar 13, for some background, they made Mafia 3. What else did they make? A bunch of vertical slices that didn't get greenlit, right? I guess. They didn't make anything after that, right?
I think so far it's only been Mafia 3, and they have a few projects that were on the go internally.
That's a 10-year studio, correct? They've been around for 10 years?
Has it been 10 years already?
I feel like it, man. They spent a good 4 years on Hangar 13, Mafia 3, and then since then, been trying to get something going.
And it might have been that long ago. 2014. Yeah, that's 8 years, huh?
8 years. So it was formed in 2014, December. And since then, they released Mafia 3, and through our friends that we know, they've been trying to get things going. A lot of these guys were dudes from the LucasArts studio, right? A lot of leadership went over there.
I mean, they're from everywhere. LucasArts, folks from Microsoft. Like, I mean, yeah, it's just they're from somebody I know. Is the studio head over there. So like just from all over the place. They built that team, right? And you know, and they have a team abroad, and then they have folks in Novato, and then they started up another studio like in the UK, right? So they're really gearing up. And I think, like I heard through the grapevine, they had like two or three projects going, right? Mm-hmm. And the layoffs really only impacted one of those projects, is what I heard from folks, right? Wait,
the studio hasn't closed?
It hasn't. No, it's still open. Like, it hasn't fully closed. They're still making one project, I think, but the layoffs impacted one project. One project was basically canceled, and so therefore, all of those people got laid off. Right.
Do you think this is a beginning of other studios that are somehow kept it together through the pandemic, but now are facing reality?
I don't think so. Like maybe Ubisoft, right? Because Ubisoft's been going through some stuff, right? But I think for the most part, for what I'm seeing, the game industry's been doing pretty well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like a complete flop, right? But a lot of games are coming out. Of course, some of them are being delayed and stuff like that, but there's still like some big hits that are coming out. Sony's doing their thing, and Microsoft has games come in and did a whole showcase off a bunch of games that they have that they're publishing, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're going to see some mass, like everybody in the industry all of a sudden is like, we need to start laying off people. I think, you know, studios that I called a long time ago that just cannot be sustainable, right? Are showing that to be true. You know what I mean?
So you don't think any of this is like the beginnings of, you know, tech companies are obviously stopping people from hiring. They were on a hiring spree, right? I always look at those companies as maybe a year or 8 months ahead of us, right? As kind of like trendsetters.
I mean, with those companies, though, the difference is they were making like money hand over fist, and their stocks were just like soaring, right? Mm-hmm. And so they could, you know, they could hire people that attract talent, just throw stock at them and be like, our stock has like gone up 30% the last year. Here, have some stock, right? Come join us, right? The video game industry isn't that, right? Right. Mm-hmm. I think we know that to be true. And so I don't think they were on such a hiring spree during the pandemic, right? Maybe a lot of contractors, right? Maybe in some instances they were hiring on, but I don't think, at least not from what I'm seeing, I don't think they were in some sort of situation where they have to be like firing everybody now. You know what I mean? Unless it was already dubious that they had a studio in the first place. You know what I mean?
Well, this is a good mark too. Like, we're at about a time where streaming games are kind of like more comfortable now. Console hype from the launches during the pandemic is starting to calm down, right? Of course, there are always games that are free to play that are doing well, and indie games popping here and there. But companies like Activision or Ubisoft, who are always first to boast numbers, aren't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like they're braggadocious lately about that type of stuff.
Yeah, and like, this is, I'm gonna try to say it the nicest way I can, but they're not really. I think the public is bored of the stuff that they're coming with, right? And like, even when you see it, you're just like, nah, you know, like the Microsoft thing where they showed all the games that are coming right over this year and next year. There is very little to be excited about there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially with Activision and Ubisoft, like, where's the games that get you hype? You know, maybe some people are happy about yet another Modern Warfare, and it looks great. Like, as always, right? The
this man great, spent Father's Day protecting
all of that. But at the same time, I'm like, man, this is the same game. You know what I mean? Right. It's just like another, yet another different setting. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think there's a lot of apathy out there, you know? And people are not like, yay, Far Cry 6, another Far Cry. Let me pick that up. Like people are bored. I think at least I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it kind of kicked off with the Summerfest, right?
Yeah.
Summerfest is like a combination of all of these conferences. Like Microsoft mm-hmm. had their own. Sony kind of had their own, I believe, right? And a few other publishers. And like you said, this is kind of a good preview of what's to come for the next 2-3 years. And right now we're kind of looking at Last of Us 2 or Last of Us Remake, the first one. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt the same. I don't know if it's because of our age. I'm not as hyped as I used to before. I mean, Street Fighter looks cool, I guess.
No, but looks dope.
But there was a lot of the ones that I do like are kind of remakes or sequels.
Yeah,
as usual. Talking about The Last of Us, Street Fighter. What was the other one? Resident Evil 4, even though it was like a quick snippet, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of original IP, I guess, you know, our good friend over there, Larry, is working on Callisto Protocol, the Dead Space 2.0. Mm-hmm. It's the best way to
just call it spiritual successor
to Dead Space.
That's really what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought you would be in an orange jumpsuit the whole time. I was like, all right, I can get down with this. And then he literally puts on the same gear, the same armor, basically, and had like that iconic plasmic gun. I was like, all right, this is Dead Space. And like, well, I mean, coming from, you worked on Dead Space, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about that? It was cool.
I think it's cool. I was like, I think we need more Dead Space in our lives and like a good version of Dead Space. Because EA just doesn't want to.
Well, they're making a remake too. You think this is kind of coincidence or kind of like they're.
They are making a Dead Space remake finally. That's right. That's right.
At the same time, and it looks pretty dope too. Let me look that up. Man.
But Strike a Distance, like, you know, Glenn is the original creator of
Dead
Space. Yeah. And so like, that's kind of like his thing. And it looks like he's gone even more over the top with it. Right. So like,
yeah,
it looks cool. Like I'm going to play that for sure.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah.
Like that was the one thing that I like, yes, it is something you've seen before. It is spiritual successor to Dead Space, like dialed up a bit more, but it's still like, I'm not bored of Dead Space yet. Like I could do with more of that, you know what I mean? So I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, let me see if you can tell the difference. This is the remake here.
You could totally tell the difference.
Let me look at Callisto Protocol. No hate, man. I love Dead Space. Dead Space was one of my favorite games when it came out, for sure.
This looks like Dead Space 2, is it?
It's a Dead Space 1 remake. That's the game.
Oh, this is Dead Space 1 remake. Man, it's been a while. It's been a while.
I mean, like where the person stands for the over the shoulder is exactly like the same distance. They watched this and made sure it was correct.
Yeah, it's a spiritual successor, man. You know what it is.
But do you think EA caught wind of this and they were like, hell no. So this is Callisto. I mean, it obviously looks better.
Yeah. You got that grain on it. Like, can't see nothing.
Yeah.
But... yeah, this is, yeah, it looks way better. Yeah. But, you know, that's expected.
This one was borrowed from our good friend Gainer thing, right?
Oh,
or has it been done before?
Holograms. Yeah, holograms been done before, you know.
In that way? No, I remember Gainer was the first one doing it.
That's just a hologram telling a story. What Tacoma was doing was like even crazier than that. So.
What other game did it like that where...
Like, oh man, there's so many games that are like, let's show you a diary. And it's like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn does that. Right? They have these holograms replaying a story
But Gainer was the first one that really did it, I feel.
No.
Before Tacoma, there was, I don't remember everyone doing that. That was popular.
Yeah. But like this, yeah, this year, that's pretty dope. Yeah, I'm not mad at this little protocol at all. I think it'd be good.
What do you think? What's going on here with the future slate? Our games are, again, trending towards too expensive, where risk level is just not possible.
That's what it is, right? Like, if you drop in millions of dollars, you know, you want to, like, will people want to play this thing, right? And the sure way of doing that is, like, play to nostalgia, some sequels, familiar gameplay. Right. There was some article about that, actually, about how, like, things, you know, a lot of games are risk adverse and gameplay is suffering because of it. We're kind of saying the gameplay is all kind of the same or very familiar because that's what people will buy. That's what people, that's because we know, because previous games did this. And so we'll do it as well. And this reduces the risk that's inherent. I think that's what you get when you're dropping hundreds of millions of dollars trying to make these things, right?
I will say this.
There's no time for art and all that, you know what I mean?
Well, what's interesting to me is that a lot of these games are single player. That's where they felt less risky about. And for a while, we always felt like it was kind of trending towards free-to-play. There's multiplayer, there's but like the games that I'm and you, me and you are excited about are Dead Space Remake. I don't mind playing that again.
Yeah,
Callisto Protocol. I mean,
Street Fighter is
definitely RE4 remake. Yeah, Street Fighter is a fighting game.
Yeah,
The Last of Us 1 remake.
I'm not excited about any of those, quite frankly. Like Resident Evil or the Last of Us remake. Like, I mean.
You wouldn't check it out?
I might check out Resident Evil 4 remake, maybe.
Bro, that game was dope, man.
No, I love Resident Evil 4, but I'm saying I might check out
the remake. That started the whole third-person genre.
Yeah, dude.
The original.
Yeah, I know. But really, what did I see that was like, yeah, I'm all in. I need to play that. Oh. It's an indie.
The Aliens game?
No. Roller Drome.
Roller Drome.
It's like roller derby, and you're shooting folks and doing acrobatic stunts and everything.
I think I saw that.
It's from Roll 7. Yeah, like that looks dope. That was like, I saw that. I was like, yeah, this is dope. Like, because it's
different.
It was fresh, different, looked great, looked like it was fun.
Roller Champions? Is that what you're talking about?
No, Roller Drome is what it's called. It was a show a couple weeks ago. I'm talking about.
It's not trending on. I only see Roller Champions.
Just Google it, man. Just Google it. I'll even send you the link.
Send me the link.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I don't know, why are you pulling up Aliens Darkness? What is that?
Hey man, there was like three aliens game being announced. I guess it got recently acquired. Oh yeah, I remember seeing this. The graphic art.
Yeah, dude. Looks interesting. At least I'm like, yeah, I'll check that out. You know what I mean?
Private Division. That's the 2K company.
2K external publishing.
Yeah. Finally doing something with that. Oh, okay, yeah, I remember.
They've been doing something for a while, but yeah.
Well, what other games do they have?
I mean, Private Division, just a bunch of them. Just a ton of them.
A lot of nostalgia.
Yeah,
80s and 90s.
Kerbal Space Program, the Outer Worlds, the Ollie World.
Kerbal Space Program. That's that story broke on this podcast, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
We went viral and we didn't even know what we had. Some crazy ass fans had to break it for us.
Oh, man.
No, this is cool.
Moon Studios, 80s.
Overall, you're just tired of realistic, right? What about the Arcane game? We have a friend. Redfall.
You know what's crazy about that? It's like when they showed it, I was like, this was their Arcane game. Like immediately I was just like, oh, this is an Arcane game for sure, right? And then yep, it was from Arcane.
The sad thing about that company is that I feel like you can do a better Bioshock than the 2K guys.
No, I love, well, here's the thing, like, well, you know, okay, that's what it is, right? Like, yeah. like Arcane, their pedigree is System Shock and the Shock like games, and so, and they're fans of System Shock, and they're fans of Bioshock, and so they make these immersive sims, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Deathloop is, that's what Dishonored is, and that's exactly what Redfall looks like, and that's why I was like, hey, this looks like an Arcane game, right? Only they really make these games.
Yeah, they make them, and they're design wise very good. Yeah.
And they're good, right? Yeah. So is the only thing that's making me go about this is like, vampires, really?
I know. I like, for a few years ago, even I worked on a vampire game, and they were trying to make it like the next Zombies, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like they want to make it Zombies, but they're like, oh, we can't make it Zombies. Let's make it vampire. You know, it's like one of those things.
Yeah.
But
I hope still, they make it cool. Maybe, you know,
but still it does look cool. Right. It still looks cool. Still like something. It might be interesting to play. Like, I love Arcane games. Right. So, I would
like what do you call it? The aesthetic, not the art style, but like the, they feel like one of those WB shows kind of teenagers era. You know what I mean?
But the other thing I noticed about this too is like, they're like
Archie Comics kind of feel.
No, they're like, I really like how the vampires die in Blade. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so they just recreated that effect. That's dope.
This is that kind of postcard art as well. It's a certain style. I forgot.
It's like 60s. I saw this. Right. I saw this dude, and I was like, "This looks like Arcane game." Like.
Yeah. Their art style is very distinct.
Yeah.
It's very Bosch. I hope they. Vampires are very hard games. Like, no, there's no vampire games that actually do well.
Yeah.
I can't even remember one. I mean, there was one game that was literally called Vampire, spelled kind of Polish or something.
There's like, that one, yeah. And then there's like,
and it looked like an Interview with Vampire kind of vibe, you know, like more realistic take on it. And even then, I didn't even want to. Didn't have the urge to pick it up. It's like, it's not enough for me to pick it up.
Yeah.
But hopefully this is a co-op 4-player game. And, you know, the kind of like little Borderland robot that they throw into it kind of helps with variety, I guess. I'm also hoping they have more, like a versus mode too, where it's not just what player versus, what is this genre called when you play against computer?
PvE, right?
PvE,
co-op PvE. Yeah.
Hope they have other modes, but still kind of in that singular fashion. Of course, we don't know all the modes or anything, but they're kind of promoting like a story linear path, right? So, I'm interested to kind of hear your thoughts about that, because I thought for the longest time that single player, this type of linear storytelling is dead. Unfinanceable.
But I mean, it's a co-op game though, right? That you play with your friends. And so that kind of is another.
Yeah, but how many? I mean, the main thing is replay value though. Like, that's the thing that people finance and invest in.
Yeah, sure.
So where's the replay value in something like this?
I don't think we know enough yet.
Yeah.
You know, about the game to really say if there is any or not, right? But if it's an arcane game, all of their games are kind of made to be replayable, right?
I don't know.
Yes.
Do people replay Dishonored still after they beat it?
Hardcore people do, because, like, you know, then they're like, oh, let me play it differently. Let me ghost it. Let me, you know, there's
they don't count. Come on, man. We're talking about masses here. Hardcore nerds, of course, they play anything.
I don't think the masses replay games anyway.
For Arcane, yeah.
You know what I mean? So. I don't think the masses replay games, period, unless it's a strictly multiplayer game or Fortnite and things
like that. That's what I mean. Like, those are the core, that's the moneymaker, right? A continuous game.
Yeah.
A live service type of game.
Yeah. I don't think this is games as a service. Definitely not. Right.
So that's why I'm surprised that it's kind of shifting this way. Is it because we're at the beginning of a game cycle, console cycle, that you know, this kind of testing the technology more predictable? What was
maybe people just don't want to make games as a service, yo.
But this is a lot. I would say the Summerfest, one demo after another.
Yeah,
even the Aliens game were kind of linear.
No, but can you imagine right now waking up and going, I'm going to make a games as a service. I'm going to compete with Fortnite and Warzone. Like you're gonna wake up in the morning and say, like, I don't know. Like, maybe there's people out there that are like, yeah, I want to do that, but like, I don't know, man.
I think as a developer, unless you're a badass seasoned multiplayer designer that like makes Fortnite in their sleep, right? Most people who venture on their own or start a new company leans towards a linear story because it's an easier, more predictable model for game developers, because game development is already hard, right? I always feel that even years ago, like 5 to 6 years ago, or even 10 years ago, that it hit a certain point that we can't just do that anymore, right? We have to add something that shows some replay value to investors.
So we say this, right? And then Sony...
Yeah.
Like, all their top hit games are very much single player games, right?
Yeah.
They're open world and large, and you'll be playing those for like 100 hours or whatever, right? But like, all of their games are single player and not multiplayer games as a service or microtransactioned out, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's Horizon Zero Dawn, there's Ghost of Tsushima, like, you know, and there's more. Like, I can't even list them all, right? But they're all like
Street Fighter looks so good.
Last of Us.
Street Fighter, to me, like, these fighting games have still, like, being an environment artist. Of course, the character's dope, but still has the best environments. Like, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken have the best environments out of everything.
It's a little easy when you just have that one camera angle, right?
I know. So everything is choreographed, nicely placed. Cinematography is perfect.
And it's just like just detail and cool shit happening.
All the time, yeah. Right. Still good. But like, there has to be, my main thing and what I'm getting at is it feels like suddenly there's flexibility. Suddenly it's actually encouraged to make these time games where I felt like there was a good length of time where that wasn't the case. Yeah. I wonder, is it because these consoles and everybody else has some kind of streaming game service now where it's okay to take these kind of risks? Like, it does feel like something happened. Not just suddenly game developers. I feel game developers have always kind of want to make linear games. But suddenly now it's being financed and pushed through and promoted. like more than before. No,
I don't know. I just think everything's a cycle. You know what I mean? And I just think, like, you know, there was that gold rush for games as a service, and then everybody kind of got
pulled off.
You know, because it's just no, right?
This is COD right here.
Yeah, it's COD. Yeah, I mean, it looks great. Graphics look great.
Yeah, it looks good.
But doesn't play this game, bro.
Well, do you think this game's going to bring the franchise back? Because even Activision, like Activision, talk about timing, right? They're like the linear story dudes, and they seem to be having focus. I mean, a year ago, they're kind of focusing back to mainly on live games like Warzone primarily.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Call of Duty's always been about the multiplayer and online stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like single player wise, they promote the shit out of that. I mean, that's what the main sell is.
They do, but
for story and actors and all these crazy A-listers.
I bet you any money, 80% of the people that buy that game don't play the campaign at all.
It's a good percentage. Yeah.
I bet you any money, right? So, like, it was never about the campaign.
But the marketing wise, I think 80%. Yeah, 80% of it, it's a single player stuff that gets marketed, not multiplayer.
Yeah, it's easy to
market. So it goes hand in hand. Yeah.
Easy to understand. It's cinematic. It's beautiful, right? It
makes you feel
definitely
cool.
Definitely helps with marketing for sure. Yeah, it's all scripted, you know. Yeah.
Well, let me talk about the major publishers here, right? You know, it kind of watching the Summer Festival thing. It was a great reminder to kind of see Microsoft like kind of show their hard work of acquiring Bethesda, right? Who else did they buy?
Who didn't they buy?
was Bethesda, not Bethesda, ZeniMax Games, basically, and then one major company after that. What did they buy recently? Man, I can't believe I'm blanking on this.
I'm blanking on it too, actually. It was Bethesda. Not Bungie. They bought
Activision. It's so weird to kind of see that under Microsoft's roof now. The Blizzard games, right? Overwatch 2, I guess. Diablo 4 was a big thing. Another sequel.
I saw Diablo 4, and I was like, oh man, it's Diablo.
Yeah,
and then I was like, it does look good though. That was kind of my the range of emotions, you know.
Yeah. That camp, like I was like, you feel a little underwhelmed. I was like, wow, you have these two major publishers to show their hand for the next couple years, and it wasn't like aggressively a lot, right? It was just a few. On a single hand I can count.
It's gonna be the IPs, man. It's gonna be the major IPs that Microsoft bought them for. That's what they're gonna show.
But what I mean is, like, looking at Microsoft camp, I'm still, it doesn't feel that much, right? You have Bethesda, they have some Fallout stuff, Fallout Online.
You're like Fallout Online. No, it's called Starfield.
It's
called Starfield.
Can you give me some history of that? Like, I don't know anything about Starfield, man. I never really heard of it.
Well, I think you're. It's basically Fallout in space, right?
Looks like it, yeah.
But yeah, it definitely looks like it. But yeah, there was some big hype up, you know, about, oh, Starfield is going to change, you know, the RPG genre and all this kind of stuff, right? So they finally showed a bit of it at the Microsoft event. You know, they did some interviews after. Mm-hmm. And I think the general, at least with the folks I talked to, the general consensus was like, I don't know, bruh. I don't know. This looks very, very, very sketchy. You know what I mean? We have to see how it pans out, right? You know, they're claiming you could go to hundreds of different planets and land on them and do missions and stuff. You know how it goes when there's 100 things that you can do. It starts becoming very samey or very
100 lies.
you know, very procedurally generated, and like, is it really going to be cool? Is this going to be AAA No Man's Sky or like
Star Citizen?
Is every planet released? Is every planet going to be interesting? The one thing I definitely think this game's going to come out on like Star Citizen, but like, will it be any good? Who knows, right? And you know, there's some cool stuff.
This is an original IP, you said, right?
Yeah, it's original IP, but like,
that's the first for a while.
You can customize your ship, right? So that's gonna be really cool, like customizing your ship, and you can actually fly in out of space and do dogfights and fights and stuff. Like a lot of it is like No Man's Sky and what Star Citizen should have been, kind of thing. But like, what
we kind of has shown, the Anthem feel to it too.
Yeah, what we're shown though, like, I don't know, man. I'm
just a lot of rocks, linear path.
I'm not hyped about what I'm seeing.
No, this is a very well-known trick. Go down a linear path. Yeah. Let's show them.
I mean, it is a demo, and like these things are like scripted events to show off the demo and stuff like that, but it shows more stuff, and it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm reserving my judgment. It goes on a bit more. You know, like I said, they'll show the ship customization stuff and some other things, but
I will say this,
show the mining stuff. That's like straight up No Man's Sky.
This is one of the better looking, Bethesda.
Okay. It still doesn't look that good.
Right? But that's saying a lot, right? Yeah. This is their best effort here. Because I've never been impressed with any Bethesda games, man. I mean, outside of Arcane, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about like ZeniMax specific.
You talk about specifically Skyrim and
Skyrim, Fallout, those games always look like ass to me. This at least looks decent. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a bunch of rocks, but these interiors here look, you know, typical.
But like, yeah, I saw this gameplay and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know, bro.
No, this is definitely a lot of trickery here. Because even the Unreal demo shows more like impressed. Unreal 5 demo where they're flying through the sky. This is barely getting it to COD, right? You know what I mean? It's like trying to be COD right here.
But it's not. The thing is, like, it's not COD, right? And like, you're not going to play it, like, because it's going to be an RPG, right? And it's going to be about your skills and what you've unlocked and all that kind of stuff.
But that's their bread and butter, the RPG gameplay element.
Yeah, yeah. And the emergent gameplay and all of that.
Do you feel like this will have it? Because right now we're not seeing much, right? This feels a lot like trying to be COD right now.
Yeah. And that's why, no.
You're going around first person, third person. Yeah. For those who are listening, it feels exactly like COD right now. Supposedly it's open world, but you know, so far you kind of been following a very linear path. You're on a building exterior. Now you're finally flying to a ship that landed.
You got a jetpack flying in the air.
This guy looks worried.
No, now they're going to show the ship customization and the space battle.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Okay, now we're actually like in a city here, New Atlantis. Big city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw this, I'm just like, no.
This is what level designers or designers love. The hub area. They love walking around hubs. But no gameplay. It's just a place where you can talk.
Yeah. And you know, buy stuff, level up your character.
It's like, oh, like menu options. It's like, no, we must be physical spaces immersion. That you can walk up to.
Immersion. But yeah, man, I'm just looking at this. I'm like, it is their best looking game for sure. But it's still, it's not fantastic. Yeah. And like, and will it be, how buggy will it be at launch? Like, you know, is this gonna be
absolutely buggy? Of course.
Is this gonna be another Cyberpunk, or what is it, what's gonna happen? You know,
well, just pick another Bethesda game.
It's a lot of questions, you know, a lot of questions. And the scale is, the scale that they're touting is enormous. You know what I mean? So how can you even make all that and make it fun and interesting?
It's their best looking game by far. It's interesting. I mean, they have a cyberpunk sci-fi city. I mean, that alone is cool. Most of their shots is from one level, one planet. It's that rock level, which tells me they're pretty early on. I mean, they have interior spaces, but it's like typical sci-fi modular pieces. Nothing too crazy. A lot of close up for talking. I mean, I feel like a lot of these art were basically canceled art, you know, where they're trying to find out what this game is and they're just throwing it all together. There's some space fighting.
Zero-G combat.
Yeah, zero-G combat.
Could be interesting.
Mining. A lot of ice caverns, dinosaur creature looking. I mean, it's, here's the concern. As an artist, when you look at something like this and you try to do it realistic and you talk about it being like an expansive world, that's, there's a reason why Star Citizen's taking forever. It takes a long time. Mm-hmm. Where in No Man's Sky, stylized art, where it's its own art style, it's believable that you can say that, hey, we procedurally made thousands of planets,
galaxies. I'll give them props for, looks like you can actually make black people in the character creator.
Nowadays, you can't get away with not without that feature.
Well, you are lying. you're a damn lie. Yeah, no.
What was the last creator?
There's plenty of games where you cannot make a variety of black people. Plenty that are recent.
I saw a YouTube video.
One hairstyle.
Yeah, it was like, hey, we have more than one hairstyle. It's like, an afro too. Fade in an afro. I was like, what is this? It's like, sir,
absolutely not.
That's so funny. Who was the last game that came out with the creator?
I see all this stuff, and I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I can put attachments on my guns. Cool.
It's just a lot. If they can pull it off, great, right? But when you do a game that is realistic like this, it's like, that's a lot of time and effort.
Build your own base, your own outpost, right? With modular pieces, like Fallout 76 style, and Fallout 4. Fallout
Show 4 me.
Style. Look at this. Look at this craziness.
Prove it to me. Yeah. I mean, it did.
It's going to get to the ship customization part. And you can fly the customized ship. You know, and it's supposed to handle differently based on customizations.
Sure. Well, and for a while, you know, Star Citizen to be what it is, what it's promising. There's only a few games that actually attempted to actually do it and ship it, right? No Man's Sky being one of them.
It took No Man's Sky a solid 5 years after the fact to really make it what they wanted to make it. You know what I mean? So change color, change components. Change like completely different looking ships. Like, I mean, I'll be there with my money ready, you know what I mean? But we'll see.
Some people just have that rich luck, dude. It's like they're born with it. It's just like rich guy luck. It's very distinctive. I hope it looks interesting. I'm game, dude. I love sci-fi games. If anything, man, I like Summer Festival, aside from the remakes and stuff, a lot of sci-fi games. There was a lot of space specific games.
There's a lot of, I heard about it, was just like, there's a lot of monsters and then space monsters.
Yeah.
Or land monsters. Space monsters or land monsters. that was pretty much every game.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Very similar aesthetic. It was hard to kind of tell them apart a little. What's great is when I look at these games, yeah, I look at it as a fan, but as a developer too, it's like, all right, what's being greenlit now for the next 2 years, you know? Because you got to believe you're piggybacking off their market research. Of course, if you have an original idea, it doesn't matter what the trend is, but you know, if you have a weak idea, which is like 99% of us, you look at these, you know, and to kind of try to figure out what's interesting to people nowadays, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of space. People were maybe the Musk SpaceX talking about Mars.
No, honestly, it's this game has not been made before or hasn't been made to this fidelity before. Yeah. And there's a lot of games that have gone after it, have been successful to various degrees. Elite Dangerous, No Man's Sky, we mentioned, definitely not Star Citizen. But like people are chasing after it, right? And Starfield is like that promise finally delivered at a high, high quality, right? Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah. It's hard, man. Making those games is hard.
Well, it takes a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of glad the pandemic's over that their team is able to focus on it again. I mean, those 2 years were kind of scary. I mean, I know we were kind of thriving better than most companies or most industries. But like, it felt like for 2 years, it was kind of like no news of exciting games, really.
I mean, it was stalling. I think some really good games came out during those 2 years, despite the pandemic.
Well, the indie games, I think, Among Us, Fall Guys, there was that medieval game that kind of killed too.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Horizon Zero Dawn came out. What are you talking about? Sequel?
Forbidden West. Yeah. Well, it just came out like this year, but still pandemic games, right? So it was developed during the pandemic. Yeah man. It's interesting.
So, are you hopeful? I mean, you kind of voiced that things are slowing down for you in terms of like, it wasn't like knocked back with all the options that you saw more, less so than years before, at least.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that excited about the games I know about that are coming. Of course, there's always the indie games that excite me more because they're always doing something different or interesting. I'm playing a lot of my nerd strategy games right now. So like a lot of this stuff is just like, meh, you know what I mean? But there's a few that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy that regardless, like Street Fighter. And even some of the other ones, but like Starfield, you know, I'm skeptical, but maybe I will still check it out. You know what I mean? Because you just have to, you know, if you want to know what people are doing and what's the good stuff in there, what's the bad stuff, you know. But like overall, though, I don't think there's a lot of interesting stuff happening, at least in the AAA segment.
Well, to give people like a gauge here, man, what was the last AAA game that you were excited about that you saw and like it?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
And then Ghost of Tsushima, right? I gotta buy that. You know what I mean?
Which Ghost of Tsushima was the Western.
Yeah, there's like samurai one.
Team,
samurai.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was from Insomniac, yeah.
Not Insomniac. Insomniac.
No. It was from Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I've been meaning to want to play that.
Wait. I think also the last AAA game that I was really, really excited about.
Cyberpunk?
It's like one of my favorite games. No.
What?
Is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Right.
You like vibrant, colorful games. Horizon Zero Dawn is kind of saturated, bright. Spider-Man, hopeful, bright.
Yeah. But they're just good games, man.
They are good games.
They're just good games. Mm-hmm. And they still kind of, they're fun, you know, like when you play and you're like, oh, I'm having a good time playing this. Spider-Man more so than Horizon, but Spider-Man is just incredible.
You don't like these kind of games? It kind of makes you feel
like this
sad.
This I have no interest in. Like, what is this?
I don't know. Like it feels chaos. Like Doom.
It's like chaos, right?
So. Yeah. Decapitation happening. You're shooting kind of like space zombies. It looks like Doom. Warhammer.
Okay. I didn't even know what that was. Yeah, but nah, man. Like, definitely not interested.
Anime, yeah.
I told you I brought up Roller Drome, right? Like, it's that kind of stuff. Where I'm like, oh, okay.
You don't like this game? This is your type of game, isn't it? Bayonetta, just, crazy anime.
Just you're seeing anime and like mechs. You're like, yo, Ray, you should like this.
Well, this is your type of game. You love this kind of slashing.
I'll say that it does look interesting.
The art looks dope.
Yeah.
Which one is this one?
Mess with it.
Endless Zone Zero? Is that really what the game is called? Why would you name it ZZZ? That's such a bad.
Because anime is an anime game, dude. Yeah.
I fast forward this. I think it was. Here's Callisto. That's pretty much it. All right. Well, I mean, it kind of started. I'm interested to see. I kind of feel the same way. There hasn't been a game that really jumped at me lately. Mm. Like you, I kind of lean towards more positive, bright type of games that makes me feel like good. I'm kind of done with like gruesome gore, makes me feel like I can't sleep type of games.
Also play Callisto Protocol, though.
I will play Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
The RE4 remake is one of my favorite games. We'll play that. Of course, Street Fighter. I never really finished Last of Us 1, but now with the graphical update.
Get it on PC. That.
I will say this, the last thing that I've been reading that have gotten me excited are the Alex Half-Life mods. I don't know, you've been hearing those, right? There's Half-Life 2 mod VR that's coming out. Let me kind of pop it up here so people can see.
I didn't hear about that at all.
Half-Life 2 VR. It's basically half a two, but they've been modding it so that you can play it in VR now, basically. Let's see. And then there's another one that takes place in Half-Life universe.
You know, it's crazy too. You know how old Half-Life 2 is?
Yeah, super old.
And when you see the environments and stuff, they still look pretty good.
No, this looks cool. You know, here's the cool thing about VR, man. Like crappy looking games you look at PC, right? I mean, Half-Life 2 is obviously not crappy. It's just old.
It's not crappy. But even as old as this game is.
No.
Right.
The way they textured it was, it worked.
Textures look good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like in VR, what I found is actually it always enhances it. Just being in the environment. It always looks better than PC, in my opinion.
But in VR, you're even in worse situation though, because you could like go close to things and like. And
you would sit. You would think that.
But in Half-Life 2, things look good close up.
You know? No, it looks good. Yeah. So I'm excited to play this in VR because I still got to finish Alex. But like, I love Half-Life 2, and there was another mod. Let me pull that up.
I don't want to pick up the Chinese food containers. Like
Half-Life Alex Levitation. That's the game. So that's a little more in line with you know, Alex looks good.
Yeah. And also, I feel like walking around in VR is disconcerting for me, at least for me.
You gotta get the treadmill, bro.
Yeah, okay.
That treadmill looks hella awesome to me. The one in Ready Player One specifically. There's like a more like a shitty version.
I've seen one that they're actually selling. And you can run in 360 degrees. Like,
yeah, the exact one in Ready Player One. That's a real thing. But if you want updated graphics VR, this is a mod called Half-Life Alyx Levitation. Looks pretty dope. Uses a lot of the same updated textures.
Yeah.
It's just more Alyx, it seems like. And this is approved by Valve and officially going to be released by Valve. So they endorsed this mod.
I didn't even hear about this. That's cool.
Yeah, man. So for me, like, Street Fighter's cool. All these remakes are cool. I don't have the same excitement that I used to have for the originals, you know?
Yeah.
But when a VR game, you know, I think VR is the future eventually. It's going to take a while. I think everything just plays better in VR. So when I saw these two mods, I was like, oh, cool. It got me excited. So, yeah, because it is new to me.
It's like an age. It's like an age very well. I'd say that.
Oh, VR? I mean,
no. I mean your statement.
What game is it? Like, even like with the Starfield, right? I would be, just take any game. It would 10x my excitement if you just say it's VR. Yeah,
I think you're tripping, but okay, that's fine.
That's just my general feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, the prototype for Meta, yeah, I don't know if you saw that. They kind of had like this conceptual video for their next headset that is not Oculus. It's more, and it's not even the one that they were intending for Enterprise.
Cambria or something. I swear the last time we did this, you were talking mad trash about Facebook Meta. And now you're like, VR is the future. Like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Here's the key word here, Valve, right? The two VR projects I pointed to you were Valve related, right? No. I don't think Meta is going to take us anywhere in terms of gameplay. The software is what's got me excited. I need true game developers like Valve to make VR games, and then I'll be excited. Meta with their stupid Zoom VR shit. Get out of my face. You're losing money. And as a quick update, dude, they're one of the first to freeze hiring. And, you know, this endless loop of money that we thought they have, this 10-year plan till they're profitable, I guess isn't sitting well with their their stockholders.
They had to scale back the ambitions a bit.
They had to scale back completely. Now it feels like, you know, Facebook have stopped growth both on... Well, Facebook and Instagram, you know, all their avenues, they kind of hit like a stalemate. And I don't know if they're going to be able to make it through, man. It feels like their next hit has to be a hit for this thing to kind of go and continue this way. And I think Apple going to do what Apple does. They're letting Meta kind of dig their own grave, get the hype going, build up the fan base, and then come up with their fancy schmancy headpiece that blows everything away and do it correctly.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, who knows.
Dude, look at this. There's Meta is not showing any of this. This is a mod team. Part-timers.
You don't want in VR right now. Like,
this looks everything better than Horizon, Meta, VR, or whatever they call it.
VR games ain't it right now. Let me just put it that way. Ain't it? Ain't getting funded.
It isn't.
Nobody's rushing out saying, hey, let me make a VR game. You know, Valve is like holding down the fort. New VR games, like, I can't name one right now.
They just gave you two, dude.
They're all from Valve. I mean, beyond the ones from Valve, right? And these are mods and stuff too, right? So like, I can't name one, right? So actually, yeah. I take that back. I can't name one. A friend of mine is making a VR game that's actually doing pretty well. But it's very few and far between. You know what I mean? So
yeah. No, unfortunately, I hear you. I mean, I'm the first one to tell you that it might die before it gets traction.
Yeah.
But like in terms of excitement, VR games are the ones that kind of makes me feel like early in my industry career, right? In my career where I was excited about games. I don't get that with regular games anymore as much because it feels like a mixture of the same kind of gameplay.
Yeah. I can see you want something different and VR is giving you that different thing.
It makes me feel different when I play in there versus just staring at a screen.
Yeah. I swear I remember I was bigging up Beat Saber and you were hating on it. But what you really wanted, you just want
Beat Saber cannot be the face of VR, bro.
You want AAA VR games. I understand, right?
I want AAA VR games.
You don't want just VR games. You want to be immersed in your AAA.
I want to put on a headset and escape. You know, I want virtual reality. Yeah. I don't want to put it on and look at disco lights. Yes, you're correct.
Even though I tell you right now, Beat Saber better than this.
Beat Saber's not better than this. Well, in terms of replayability, sure. Yeah, in terms of accessibility and to the masses, of course. But for me, the type of game I want to play, it has to be VR and it has to be the games like first person, third person. It doesn't even have to be shooters, you know, just kind of making game designers think differently, you know. If you can do that where all games are kind of using the joystick to move forward and you can take it all the way to the fundamental of just moving the player forward, moving me forward, and I feel different than the last 20, 30 years, that's exciting to me, right? Like, all the remakes, all these games that are coming out, you know, without looking at the instruction manual, I feel like I already know how to play it, right? To me, that's just not... I'm past that now. I've been doing that forever. Well, you play COD, you can play any shooters that come out without any instructions. Feels the same.
I feel you on that. I just don't think VR is it, though.
Unfortunately... Zuckerberg is right. It is a long game and it really has to start making money for them to continually invest in technology where the immersiveness of moving your fingers, touching things, introducing other sensory into the game itself, haptic feedback, all of your body and shit, you know. Like to me, that's if you were a billionaire and you have all the money in the world and just make whatever game you want, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not a lot of game developers have that access now to kind of create the technology to kind of make things reality. That is what's required for VR to be widely adopted, it feels like. And to me, Valve is the only one that kind of has that luxury that can maybe do that, you know? Because they sure as hell not releasing games right now. So even when they said a couple of years ago, we're serious now. We're for real, for real.
These Half-Life Alex, but that's a
but game. Nothing since they disappeared. They were super gung-ho. It was like, hey man, we're gonna we have three games in development after Half-Life Alex. We're back in it, guys. We're back. Radio silence. Radio silence. Well, I mean, they were on a rhythm, man. They announced three games in development. You know, they were you know, you don't say that, you know, you have three games in development and disappear for another 5 years. They were fully intending to get those released.
They've had three games in development for like 30 years. Like,
I know. So now they're eating their words again. And I guess it's taking longer than they anticipated. And
yeah.
Anyways, I want to end it with just kind of concluding that the game industry is healthy. It's fine. I kind of have this feeling, though, that a lot of people, a lot of companies are waiting on bated breath to see what others are doing first. You know, as soon as a big company and another big company and another big company start pushing people back in the office, it's going to be less competitive to acquire employees, and employees will soon, like I told you before, get out of their farms forcibly to compete again for jobs and not just call the shot. But more realistically, your scenario might be happening where they'll get some back, but most are still going to hold remote jobs until they can't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's going to be some form of collaboration needed, and people are going to be like, hey, we could collaborate better and really iterate better together in an office. And so, like, I think where it's better, it will naturally happen. You know what I mean? But will there be some edict from somebody saying, you guys have to come back up in here? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Or will it be a mass return to the office? I don't know. And especially right now too, people are still worried about COVID, as much as, like, you know, everybody's acting as if, you know, life is back to normal.
And COVID's over.
There's still a lot of people that are still worried about COVID, right? And so they're just like, no, I'm not coming back to the office, you know. Or the offices that are like requiring people to be vaccinated and all of that stuff, right? So we'll see how it turns out, man. We'll see.
All right, I'm gonna say that Sony is gonna be the first one to force everyone back. They have like the craziest crunch stories before the pandemic, man. You think they're thriving right now with everyone not being forced to crunch long 70 hours?
I'm pretty sure a lot of those companies, the employees are already back in the office. Like, you know what I mean? Like for companies like that, I think in some of those cases, it's not a matter of like, you have to come back. It's just the employees just go back, right? Because it's time to get back to work. You know what I mean? So I'm sure like, yeah, I don't know how remote Naughty Dog is right now. You know what I mean? Right.
Never stopped, yeah. In my opinion. there's no way.
Yeah.
You see all those Last of Us remakes, dude? Someone was in the office making those.
Yeah. But like I said, large scale return to the office now, man. I don't think so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray, for joining us. As always, you can find him on Twitter at Wadarass, WADARASS.
That is it.
Yeah. Tweet at him your opinions. I hope you're right, Ray. You are the positive light for the industry. I'm more the cynical one, as always.
Very wrong, but it was...
I think most likely it'll be in between. I don't think it's immediate. I do agree with you. Sony probably has a lot of those people back in the office. I have seen a lot of people leaving Naughty Dog lately, who's been there for 10 years. So something's happening. It's shaken up. But I think Sony... A company like Sony, a company like Bethesda, because that's another big one that loves people in the office. I think one by one, people are going to be encouraged, and maybe in 18 months. I still think in 18 months, 2024, right, is when I think a majority of the industry people will be back. And those who are holding out will find themselves in a less competitive standing to their counterparts. Now, promotions are going to be handed out at the end of the year, dude. We'll see. We'll see if remote Steve is going to beat, you know, Office Bob.
The remote person might not care about the getting remoted.
Oh, he's going to care if he's not going to be included in calls anymore. It's all right, Steve. You don't need to join this one. Well, we had the meeting without you. You weren't by your desk. Where were you? Impromptu meeting, man. Sorry, dude. Last minute.
So silly.
As always, man, thanks for coming on. Super delightful. I know we're in the middle of the month, but I always count these roundtables as kind of a kickoff for the next three episodes. And I'm going to dig, man. I'm going to dig deep to kind of see how true my prophecies are for the coming month. As always, thank you all. And have a good night.